Israel will not be bombing Lebanon any longer. They are prohibited from doing so by the United States of America. Enough is enough. America's greatest ally just got put on a report. Let me repeat that. And Tel Aviv Levin and you entire, and Benji Shapiro, the entire Israel First crowd, the commander-in-chief of the United States military had to go on a social media platform to tell the world that we're not playing games anymore with the America's greatest ally. This deal is in, and I'm quoting the commander-in-chief, this deal is in no way subject to Lebanon either, but the USA will separately work with Lebanon and deal with the Hezbollah situation in an appropriate manner. Israel will not be bombing Lebanon any longer. They are prohibited from doing so by the United States of America. Enough is enough. I don't know what could be more humiliating, because in this entire war, the instigators of additional action that have dragged us in deeper and deeper and deeper has been Bibi Netanyahu and America's greatest ally. This is finally President Trump putting a stop to it in front of the world, ordering them, because they've done it behind the scenes before. And guess what? Israel didn't pay attention. They're going to do what they're going to do. We ain't going to do it any longer. You're going to do it. You're going to do it on your own nickel, and you're going to do it at your own risk. This could be, if properly executed by the United States military and the United States government, could be a landmark moment. And of course, Tel Aviv Levin and Benji Shapiro and all their acolytes and Miriam Adelson and everybody, they're all up in arms. They're all going to be over President Trump. He had to go out. Enough is enough. Take your number two pencil out and underline that. Enough is enough. Our magnificent military, 18-year-old, 19, 21-year-old kids, men and women, Hispanic, African-American, Asian, Americans, whites, have delivered this. And it's time to stop the games. The Middle East is a sideshow, and Israel is a sideshow to a sideshow, and it's time to stop the carnival. Finish this and do it like the American military just did it. He gave you a tool of what Scott Bessent's been talking about, ultimate economic warfare. You shut him down. Now let's make sure everybody gets to the table. Let's get this whole thing sorted. Let's not be writing big checks. And let's get our money out of here. I think President Trump finally had a belly full of this. President Trump, as I say, when he says no more games, no games. So he just put Bibi on notice, no games. Got to tell you, couldn't be more humiliating. Everybody on the Israel First Project, all your pom-poms, nothing could be more humiliating than what the commander-in-chief was forced to do on his social media platform so all the world saw it at the same time he told you. Because they've said it behind the scenes and trying to be nice about it, trying to be accommodating, and you just won't listen. Whether it's bombing, whether it's the whole nonsense about how that we started this whole thing, or about bombing Tehran that night, the oil facilities, or about expanding the war into the Persian Gulf and allowed the Persians through asymmetric warfare to shift the center of gravity of battle after you attacked those gas fields against a standing order by the commander-in-chief. So now he's got to go globally and put it out to America's greatest ally. And Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz and that entire cabal in D.C., should be put on notice. We're not doing this anymore. You're not going to jeopardize the national security interests of our nation, and you're certainly not going to put our young men and women in harm's way, and that's exactly what you guys allowed to happen. And Lindsey Graham should pay for that. If the good folks in South Carolina really look at the facts here, Lindsey Graham will be turfed out.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
coming up in just the next month or so. It looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
Listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Very happy to be joined by my guest, Zachary Rell. Zach is, of course, a January 6th prisoner who was, thankfully, had his sentence commuted by President Trump. He was the pro se litigant that caused all these sedition cases to get thrown out. And this is actually a very big deal. It's different, but related to the pardons. It could actually end up being better than a pardon for some of the guys involved. We'll break down exactly how this came about and where it goes next. I understand we're about one step into a three-step process that, should it go to completion as it should, all these guys, all the Proud Boys, all the Oath Keepers will not only have their sentences commuted, as has already happened, but will have their records totally wiped clean. They'll be able to get their military benefits and all the stuff that has been stripped from them because of the total fraudulent persecution by the Biden regime. So with that, I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Zach Rell. Welcome to the show, sir.
How you doing? Thanks for having me. We spoke before. I think the last time we spoke, I was in prison.
Yeah, and it looks like things have turned around. So just lay it out for us. What's happening? What's this latest development? How did we get here? Give us the timeline.
Well, it's something that's been in the works for a little while. It all started in August when the star witness against the Proud Boy trial, he pled guilty to seditious conspiracy, and he went on the witness stand and lied against us. But in August, he recanted that testimony, and he went on two lawyer-led video depositions, and then he filed a sworn affidavit stating that the FBI, particularly Special Agent Nicole Miller, coerced him to lie and threatened him, and basically the government withheld a lot of information about this whole thing with Jeremy Bertino, who was the star witness. Particularly when we were going through trial, the government told us that they only met with him three times, so we only got three transcripts of conversations the government had with him. But when he went on this sworn deposition, he said he met with them like over 15 times, and that's a huge deal legally. They call it a Brady violation, and that basically, for people who don't know, it basically means that the government didn't hand over exculpatory evidence or evidence that could have helped you win your case. So, I mean, I think the 13 other meetings would have been really useful for us to really attack his credibility during trial, and they deprived us of that.
If I can just pause right there, because that I think anybody should be able to understand. It's very simple. This was collusion between the government and their star witness, where they convinced him to lie to convict y'all. They met with him 15 times, hid that from everybody. Total Brady violation. And Brady violations, I mean, it can get a court case thrown out just because a fingerprint wasn't added to the evidence file. I mean, it's a big deal, a Brady violation. It means that the trial was rigged and it has to be thrown out. So this is like, it's a Brady violation, but it's so much bigger because this is active coordination between the prosecutors and their star witness in order to establish a false set of facts to convict you guys on. That is a show trial by any definition. So I just want to stop you there to emphasize what it is you're saying happened, because anybody can understand that. Some of this stuff gets a little wonky when you look into it, but that is cut and dry, total show trial.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And like the moment I watched those videos of Jeremy Bertino saying all these things, I was just like, this needs to be pursued, and this needs to be pursued hard. And, you know, I, at the time, and I'm not throwing shade at any of the attorneys on our case. They're good men. They worked hard. They did a lot of work for our appeal brief, which we fortunately won't need anymore. But, you know, they disagreed with pursuing this matter as rigorously as I wanted to. So I decided I was just going to go pro se at that moment and represent myself and do it myself. And I attacked the government on this. It took just until this past Friday to get a response from the government on the Jeremy Bertino allegations. And the wheels of justice move slow, but I boxed him in the corner. I said when I first went pro se, I was on another show. I told him, I was like, look, we're getting this information out on record, and we're going to get it in our appeal, or they're going to dismiss the case. And that's ultimately what ended up happening. And I'll get a little bit more into it in a second here, but it's not like you were ready to say something there.
Well, no, yeah, well, that's amazing. Of course, in criminal law, usually the saying is someone who represents themselves has a fool for a client. Basically, it's never typically a good idea to go pro se, because lawyers just know things that regular people don't know, and you'll fall into traps. Typically, like if it's a murder case, they'll like do not represent yourself no matter how confident you are. But this is different. Why were the lawyers not going to go after this? Again, this seems cut and dry. What do you think it was motivating the lawyers? Again, you don't want to talk smack about them, but I mean, is it just this like idea of like, well, the system, it works how it works, and we have to, you know, obey the system? Or were they just not like, why would they not pursue this?
I think, you know, without getting in any opinionated too much, but I want to say, like, I really think part of the reason was that they were looking at it from a black and white lens, you know, and their lawyers, you know, they look at it as the legal angle, but they were ignoring the very important part of this entire thing, which was the middle, the gray area, which was the political angle of the whole thing, right? You know, and the fact that this man went on record and made these explosive allegations, you know, there's two things in my mind. I was like, it's either going to lead to a dismissal, or it's going to lead to a pardon. And and that's why I pursued it so hard, because I was like, to get these allegations out here. I mean, the man recanted the testimony. He was part of the entire case. He was the whole reason we were convicted of seditious conspiracy. The prosecutors during our trial mentioned him numerous times in their closing statements, and he was the sole reason why. So, you know, in my mind, I was like, look, if President Trump is ever going to cite a reason why he would pardon us, it would be because the star witness recanted his testimony. But at the same time, you know, this situation, I made such a compelling argument, and I used the appeals court to back me up in the trial court to try and get this evidence in. And and that's what I meant when I was like, I kind of boxed him in the corner. I forced him to have to choose to either allow it to come out or throw the case out. And my wife was, she did not support my decision to go pro se originally. She said, you're going to regret it. It's she's like, these are attorneys. They know what they're doing. And I was like, no. I was like, I have to do this. I was like, nobody's going to pursue this as hard as I'm going to pursue it. And I was like, it was terrifying for me. It really was. I was scared as hell, but I did it, you know, and no, that's decision I made.
It feels like it'd be easy for me, or you know, it'd be easy for me to understand how you would just go, hey, I'm out of jail, I'm getting the hell out of here, I'm not looking back. You know, it's kind of a risk of you actually bringing this back up and almost going back into the lion's den and go, no, we're not done with this fight yet. That is a very risky move. I'm so glad it paid off for you. That makes this whole thing that much more impressive, because you know, that really is, you know, the amateur going up against Michael Jordan and dunking on him. I mean, that's huge. Okay, so this guy recanted his testimony. Your lawyer said it's nothing. You decide, screw it, I'm going to pursue this. What happens next?
Well, so, you know, it took me a little while to get my pro se status approved by the appeals court and the trial court. The trial court, which is where we were prosecuted and we obviously went to trial, they ignored my pro se motion for the longest time. And it kind of got frustrating for me. So then I was just like, you know what? I'm going to file something with the appeals court. And the appeals court responded by basically telling me I need to refile this in the trial court, which is the lower court. And that prompted the trial court judge to have to actually look at my pro se motion and approve it. So, like I said, this recant came out August 4th, I think it was the first day. I wasn't able to get it into the trial court record until February, I think. February. So finally February rolls around and it's on record. The whole motion I made about Jeremy Bertino and how we need to do a Rule 33. A Rule 33 is basically when you finish your trial, if new evidence arises, you have 3 years from the date of conviction to get it in there through a Rule 33. So that was my absolute goal. I was like, I have to get this on record because we need this evidence in our appeal. You know, I mean, the star witness recants his testimony. Why would you not want it in your appeal? Well, so the government was trying to delay responding at first. They're acting like they didn't get the videos that I sent. So that delayed the case for another month, basically. And it was interesting because the reply date that they were ultimately granted lined up right with our appeal when we were supposed to file our appeal. Our appeal was due April 13th, and the government's response to the Jeremy Bertino accusations was April 10th. Wow. So I seen this immediately as I was like, I see what they're doing here, because my reply was due April 24th. That basically means that litigation for this whole thing wasn't going to commence before the appeal. So I'm like, all right, I see what they're doing. They're trying to stonewall me from getting this in here. So I filed a motion with the appeals court requesting an abeyance. And an abeyance is basically an indefinite delay of the appeal brief schedule until we got this Bertino thing litigated. And they didn't like that too much. The government opposed that motion in the appeals court. They said, they're like, oh yeah, you know what? You know, it's fine. This will get litigated in a couple months. You could just do an amendment and get it into your appeal in a couple months. And I countered with them. I was like, there's no guarantee that I could get this in the, you know, they're even going to rule on that in the next couple months, you know? So I was like, this accusation came out in August and we're still having conversations about how to proceed on this. So I was like, absolutely not. And, the appeals court suspended the whole appeal brief a couple days later. And I was like, oh, wow. Maybe they agree I'm onto something here. And then a couple days later, the trial court prosecutors, they put in their April 10th response to the whole Bertino thing. And they were like, yeah. And this is Jocelyn Ballantyne. I'm sure you guys reported on her before.
Oh, yeah.
She replied and said that the judge should defer litigation of the whole Bertino thing until after our appeal is commenced. So this directly contradicts and conflicts with what the attorneys for the prosecution were saying in the appeals court. And I ran right back to the appeals court with that, and I put a supplement motion in, and I was like, this is exactly why we need the abeyance, because the lower court doesn't want this information getting out, and we need it for our appeal. And there's no guarantee, like I said, there's no guarantee that, you know, this is going to be ruled on. And this is prime example, number one, why it may not be ruled on. And three days later, we get a dismissal.
So sort of a, I don't know how to put it, a chicken and the egg sort of thing. It's like, okay, you can't do this motion until you file the appeal. But to file the appeal, you want to use the evidence from this motion. So it was they wanted to put you in an impossible situation where you had to file the appeal before you could get the information that was necessary for your appeal. Do I have that generally right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. That's literally that. That's it. Yeah.
Well, so it's still it's still crazy. Machinations. It's still manipulation of the court system, trying to screw you over. So, again, this wasn't an honest mistake. That's what I'm learning from this. That this wasn't looks like, you know, we messed up here. We want to make it right. This looks like, oh crap, they caught us. Let's cover up our are crimes. I mean, it sounds like these are, this is more, I don't know if what they're doing is criminal, but obviously they're attempting to cover up what I would consider criminality in throwing you guys in jail on knowingly false testimony. So, all right, good. Glad we clarified that. Okay, so they actually, so what happened? So this wasn't an appeal. This is something different aside from the appeal that you guys are doing that would happen in the normal course of things, right?
Yeah, this was what was called a Rule 33. Like I said, anytime you get new evidence of, you know, you have to go back to the trial court. You can't insert new evidence into an appeal. The appeals court is done just for they look at mistakes and procedural errors in the trial court. So the Rule 33 gave me an avenue to insert this new Jeremy Bertino evidence into our trial record, essentially, that would then be allowed to be litigated in the appeals court. So that's why that whole process went down like that. And again, it's evidence that was very damaging to their reputations. And like you said, they didn't want it in there. And they probably didn't want to admit fault, whether it's covering up or not. I'll take it for what it is. You know, it turned out to be a dismissal. The federal government's, they're not going to admit wrongdoing. How they do that is they toss cases. You know, they'll silently toss cases, and that's basically what they did here.
So is that the latest that happened? Because I have this story from yesterday. The Justice Department is seeking to throw out the January 6th conviction of ex-Philly Proud Boy leader Zach Rell. The move would serve as the latest development in President Donald Trump's efforts to effectively erase any criminal consequences from the ill-fated attempt to keep him in power. Of course, that's the biased way they phrase it. But is that more or less factually accurate as to the latest update with you guys' case?
Yeah. And this came right after the supplement motion and right before the appeals court was due to issue their ruling, granting my abeyance to completely delay the case. So, like I said, I boxed them in the corner on this one here, and they were forced to, like I said, either let this information come out on record or throw the case out. So it's a huge development, and it's going to help us out tremendously. It's better than a pardon, because a lot of us are military veterans, myself included. You know, Joe Biggs is another one. He was my co-defendant, and you know, we were deprived of all of our VA benefits, disability payments, and retirement payments, and they came after us for money they paid us after January 6th. It's disgusting what they did. So now this will vacate the entire, we were never charged. So all the military vets who were charged and convicted of sedition conspiracy, they're going to get back pay from January 6th on. Wow. And it's good. It's a huge, huge victory, because we should have never been deprived of these benefits in the first place. I mean, I was in prison with people who raped and murdered people, and they still received their benefits. But, you know, you protest a stolen election, you know, in 2020, and all of a sudden, you should be stripped of all your benefits like you never served. It was disgusting what they were doing to us, and I'm just so happy that, we're going to get vindicated here, and some of us are getting our lives back. So it's great.
That is absolutely huge. And again, for those of us just joining me, my guest is Zach Rell, and you can follow Zach on X at Zach_Rell. That's R-E-H-L, Z-A-C-K, I'm sorry, Z-A-C-H underscore R-E-H-L. And you can go to givesendgo.com/defendZach. That's givesendgo.com/defendZach. And of course, you're still fighting this. And I don't think he'll mind me reading this, but Stuart Rhodes texted me this, and I just want to make sure that we have this accurate. He says, "The 12 of us who were commuted but not pardoned have not been pardoned." So this isn't a new round of pardoning, even though maybe the way I expressed it, it sounded like I said that. "The DOJ filed a motion to DC Court of Appeals asking appeals court to vacate our convictions and then remand our cases to the trial courts for dismissal with prejudice once the DOJ then files motions to dismiss it in the trial courts. This is not a done deal yet, but it's the first step of a three-step process, and it's likely the Court of Appeals will grant the DOJ request. Historically, the DC Court of Appeals is deferential to the DOJ in such motions. I see this as the DOJ throwing in the towel, in a sense, because it's also them brushing all their crimes and constitutional violations under the rug and avoiding possibly losing in the Court of Appeals. All of our appellate briefs were due today, but now because of this, the Court of Appeals suspended our briefing schedule, so we didn't have to file our briefs. He says once this is over, if the court grants the DOJ request, it will actually be better than a pardon because your convictions and the indictments will be totally gone as if it didn't happen. You'll get your military rights back, all your rights back, military benefits, and likely back pay on disability. So is that a pretty accurate rundown of everything going on? Is this the first step of a three-step deal?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's 100% correct. And it's kind of what I was getting at there with the whole back pay thing and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the appeals court does have to approve it. But it's kind of beyond me to think that they're going to oppose it because if the DOJ doesn't want to pursue this for various reasons, I mean, they can't force them to continue to fight it. So, I mean, they're going to, especially since it's an unopposed motion, everybody on all sides, both sides agree, like 99% of the time the court goes with the unopposed motion is requesting. And in this case, I don't expect it to be any different, but he's right. We're not out of the woods yet per se. But unless they want the Jeremy Bertino allegations to get out on record, and who knows? I mean, I was hoping to get Jeremy Bertino on a witness stand while we were doing some investigations into his matter further. But we don't know what he's going to say, and they don't know what he's going to say. So, I mean, unless they want Jeremy Bertino on the stand, then they should just continue on and toss this out. So,
wow,
and I'm happy with that.
That's what we call. That's what we around here call a 360 win, a win-win situation. Either you get to put him, on the hot seat and ask him questions and get the truth out there, or they got to admit that the whole thing was a fraud from the beginning and let you guys go. That's a brilliant setup you've arranged there, and not in a dishonest way. It's just they've sort of been hoisted by their own petard. They've been screwed by their own wily machinations and deception. Has anyone from the Trump administration reached out to you? I'm wondering, because of course he did the pardons and we're very happy, and I'll always be glad I voted for him for that reason alone. But have they been really instrumental in this? Have they been fighting you? What's been your relationship with the Trump administration through all of this?
Nobody directly from the Trump administration beforehand I spoke with. I did get a congratulations from Ed Martin, who's been a fighter for all J6ers. I definitely give him credit. I'm sure he was working in the background doing everything that he could to help, help us all move on to this. And God bless him. And God bless all the activists and whatnot that support us as well. Raising awareness to a lot of this stuff, it really helped as well, because, we had to put pressure on the government to do the right thing here. And it was a combination. It wasn't all me. It was a combination of the ones fighting the other 12, even Enrique Tarrio, he was always there to help me out and pumping an article out anytime I filed a motion. Well, and these things work together,
Just absolutely huge. So what is the next step? The immediate next step?
Well, the next step is obviously just a way to, get the judges to sign off on this. And then after that, the next step is compensation. At this point right now, I sat in prison for 4 years for charges that are not going to be on my record anymore. And that's the same thing for, the other 12. We all are getting our convictions completely wiped out, like we were never charged, but yet we were still hostages of the U.S. government for 4 years. And
this is the very bare minimum
we're looking at.
You've really achieved something incredible here. Now I'm one who's never going to be satisfied. I think everybody that did this to you should be in jail. That's what I'm pushing for. But this is an incredible and really unexpected victory. Congratulations, Zach.
Thank you. Appreciate
that's huge.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15-20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke. In the 50s, they said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. And I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. You get our Ultimate Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Freedom Command Central, it's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We, of course, are coming to you live from the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas. And we're going to be metamorphosizing here very soon, sooner than you might think. InfoWars will no longer exist as an entity because we have been treated to the exact same rigged court system that January 6ers were convicted in. Luckily, we're not going to jail for decades on end. That might come later. That might come if the Democrats regain power. We'll get into that in just a second. But we have survived and we have honestly thrived and continued to build and continued to expand in the face of relentless attacks. And very soon, we'll be out from under the wet blanket of the bankruptcy, and we will be able to actually manifest our full potential. It's very exciting, but we need your support to do it. We cannot do it without you. You keep us on the air and in the fight by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We so appreciate that you do. And we give you, I was going to say a fantastic product, a million fantastic products. So it really is a 360 win. You get a fantastic product that you will love, whether it's something like the Ultramethylene Red that's now on sale, the T3 Iodine, which is a total game changer. Or if you're just buying the merchandise, it's always the highest quality and patriotic as you can get. It's a true 360 win. You keep us on the air, in the fight, and get something great for yourself. Right now, Ultramethylene Red is 72% off if you sign up for the subscription. You can lock it in for life as long as you're subscribed, but we're almost at that 1,000 subscriber limit. We cannot offer this low price for everybody, so you've got to go now to get Ultramethylene Red for the insanely low price, 72% off, and you can see what it does for you. There's also new InfoWars shirts, which are a mix of the classic fan favorite designs and brand new InfoWars originals. You've got to get these designs before they're sold out, because it will be likely the last run of some of these designs ever. So get them now while you can. You are the InfoWar. And of course, that's always been the message. And it's good because you sort of establish these principles, these foundational elements of your organization. And if they're grounded in traditional Americana, then you just... they never change. It's, you just have the same mindset forever, and it always works. It always applies. That's centering humanity, being suspicious of these big power structures that almost always use information to manipulate you, and the ultimate goal being a total enslavement of the entire planet under a one-world government that they are clearly driving towards relentlessly. And I'm wondering how to intro this next video, because sometimes strange things happen. It's actually almost like predictable at this point. See, we've made our entire brand on exposing liars, on exposing false flags, on exposing play-acting kabuki theater nonsense that convinces people to do things that they shouldn't do. That's what we do. That's what our entire thing is actually. They sort of stole the word from us, but debunking. We debunk things. We are the original debunkers, if you will. And so it's always strange when we then get accused of doing some false flag thing. A, we don't need to. We're already attacked enough. It's not like we need to fake additional persecution on top of the persecution that has been wielded against us for so long. So that doesn't even make sense in the first place. But also, our entire brand is legitimacy, is founded on our legitimacy, is our audience knowing that they can trust us to tell the truth, even if it doesn't benefit us. It actually makes us anti-grifters, right? You hear the word grifter a lot. What a grifter is, by my definition, is somebody who says something they don't believe because it benefits them. It's people who lie or put forward a mindset, an idea, a lifestyle. You get a lot of people out there that are complete degenerate scumbags who all day, every day are talking about their life as a Christian man and the struggles against sin. That's grifting. That's lying. That's telling a lie because you're trying to capture an audience to get their money. It's literally the opposite of what we do. If we were grifters, if what we said and believed was dictated by what's popular, we wouldn't be holding the positions that we currently hold. What we're doing now, I mean, I'm actively, ever since the Iran war began, I've been losing followers on X. If I cared about that, then I wouldn't keep saying what I'm saying. If that's what was motivating me, popularity or prominence or connections to the elite or money, we'd be taking a whole different tack. We're anti-grifting. We are saying what we do believe. And it's losing us money. It's losing us, you know, popularity amongst people who, you know, trust Trump endlessly. It's kind of unfortunate, but at the end of the day, I would hope that even if you disagree with us, you can recognize that our positions and the stances we hold are informed entirely, completely, 100% by our own genuine belief set and our knowledge that we spend all day, every day accruing from every different source. Again, you might disagree with us, but you can be absolutely certain and bet your bottom dollar that we're not saying things we don't believe. And that's a very important currency to have at this time when so many people are liars. So many people are grifters. So many people are taking positions they don't genuinely believe because they think it makes them money. We are the standouts in this. We are the outsiders. We are the ones who buck the trend. This is confusing to some people, apparently. Apparently, this confuses some people. One of them made a video where, and I've showed a couple videos like that, they all kind of have this same vibe. You know, it's like the video I played, I guess it was earlier this week, of the guy, again, trying to slander InfoWars and going, where do they get their money? How do they make so much money? Have you ever bought from InfoWars? And it's this whole, like, I've done this for a while. I know how these things work. So I know there's something we're not. And it's like, what is the accusation? What are you actually saying? What do you actually believe? Nothing. You have nothing to go on. You're just insinuating things vaguely, believing that stupid people will hear things you didn't actually say, that they'll come away believing your sort of strange hints at something that isn't true. This is another one of these videos where, again, if you were totally ignorant, if you totally had no knowledge of anything going on, I could see how you could believe this. But I don't understand how anybody with even cursory knowledge of how this whole scandal is unfolded would believe what this guy's saying. I'll break it down here, but this is clip number 13. This was posted saying, wake up, people. This guy lays it out well. The woke right is scheming. We're scheming, folks. Let's watch.
Don't you find it just a little bit strange that all of these former Trump supporters have mind melted at the same exact time, all using the same script to come out against him?
Yeah, let me pause it right there, buddy. Let me pause it right there. For our radio listeners, if we can bring up the image, I want to say who it is he's talking about. So he's pointing at this collage of people. You've got Candace Owens, Megyn Kelly, Alex Jones, Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, Glenn Greenwald, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and the Hodge twins. Even though it looks like they took one of the Hodge twins and duplicated, copy-pasted them, that's fine. They are twins after all. Okay, so he's pointing at these people. And he's saying, isn't it interesting that they all dropped Trump at the same time with the same script? Okay, but they didn't, did they? At all, like even a little bit. Like Joe Rogan started getting cold feet after people were killed by ICE. And he said, hey, maybe mass deportations isn't worth it. Or, you know, I can't actually stand by this. Candace Owens, I think, broke with Trump in like 2025. I was looking up on AI because I'm just like, what is he even talking about? And I was going to go through each one in particular, but just... you should know. Like anybody who's watched this space knows all of these people broke with Trump at a different time over a different situation. Often it was exclusive to them. Like Candace Owens started going against Israel following the genocide they were waging in Gaza, and she got fired from Daily Wire. Like her process of moving away from the MAGA, Israel first, Trump-centered cult was like a long process over like a couple years, and it started with being anti-Israel. Tucker Carlson, on the other hand, obviously actually was fired from Fox for his support of Donald Trump, and over time has sort of moved away from sort of sycophantic Trump support, but again, on the basis of why are we allowing Israel to do this to our country? And I guess at this point, Tucker is like fully anti-Trump. I don't know when he first went that way. I guess the latest thing was him really being outraged and disgusted at Trump's behavior of tweeting out a threat of genocide and saying praised be to Allah on Easter morning. So, I mean, again, it's just, I guess it depends on your ignorance. I guess it depends on you just literally not knowing about any of this, because that's an absurd statement. All these people turned on Trump all at the same time with the same script. Totally asinine. Doesn't even make sense. If anything, you could say, Alex, and I wouldn't even say we turn on. If somebody asked me, if somebody came up to me in the street and just said, are you a Trump supporter? I'd say, yeah. Yeah, I voted for him. I support him. I support what he said he wanted to do. I want the closed border. I want the, you know, deep state taken down. they're enemies with Trump. I still am functionally a Trump supporter. I just despise everything he's done in the recent past. I see his failure to uphold his campaign promises as an existential threat to my nation and my life and my family. So I'm not in support of what he's doing. I'm desperate to have him back on track because he is the president and he's the one that needs to be doing this. But I'd still say I'm a Trump supporter. I'd still say in general, I'm rooting for the guy. It's just I feel like he's turned on us and has become somebody else. That's why we keep referencing like King Theoden. And I reference this all the time. It's like, do you support King Theoden? It's like not with Wormtongue turning him into a monster. No, but in general, and who he is, who he was for the last 10 years, I still am supportive. But, you know, Alex, I'm sure feels the same way. I mean, he speaks for himself when he does his show and is always couching his criticism of Trump in the love and support we have for Trump. So again, it's just ridiculous. So Candace Owens, who, you know, goes on Piers Morgan in 2025 and says Trump is just a, you know, series of failures, a little bit different than Alex Jones in March of 2026 going, what the hell is wrong with Trump? Why did we get into this Iran war? So let's just, we'll go back to the guy, but just from the outset, it doesn't even make sense on the surface, but we'll return to it. He doesn't even make any other points. Like we could just end it there because this video beyond this point is just like building on this initial lie. So I could just stop it now, but let's go back to the guy and we'll hear him out. We'll hear out what he's discovered about our nefarious plans to like tell the truth and stick to our guns, regardless of what Trump says. He figured us out. Let's watch.
Normally in the past, what would happen is that they would defect slowly, one at a time, maybe different times, one in 2020, one in 2021, maybe one in 2017.
Let me just pause right there. Okay, because first of all, they did all drop Trump or move away from Trump at a different time, just not back in 2017 or 2021 or any of those dates that he mentioned, because Trump hadn't gone to war with Iran yet. What is wrong with people? Like, it's the same thing as Israelis saying anti-Semitism has skyrocketed because of October 7th. It's like, no, it's because of the genocide you guys committed. Like, what do we not understand about time, about temporal permanence? A thing that happens after a thing and is caused by that thing is not just some independent, like, it's all inverted from these people. Why would we have dropped Trump in 2017? Why would we have dropped Trump in 2020? We dropped Trump for a reason. The reason arrived last year. But I guess if you ignore that, then yeah, this is all mysterious. I guess if you ignore the thing Trump did that everybody's against, that all of these people speak about being against, I guess if you take that out of the equation, then we have a real mystery on our hands. Right? I mean, what are we doing here? Let's go back to the video. So again, it was, oh, you'd expect him to drop in 2017. Why? Why? He didn't send America into war with Iran in 2017. He didn't spend all of 2017 deporting critics of Israel while allowing an increase of H-1B visas. The things that we oppose him for, the things we don't like him doing, are the things that caused us to turn on him. That's why we turned on, like, what? It's called temporal reality. It exists regardless of what you think about it. You cannot just remove a major cause of a thing happening and then look at the thing and say, this is a mystery. I guess I get to speculate wildly. You don't need to speculate. There was a cause. You're looking at the effect. What is going on here? Let's go back to the guy.
Almost like they had a meeting.
Almost, yeah.
Especially the Hodge twins. Really shocked.
Okay.
Marjorie Taylor Greene was not a surprise. Joe Rogan is leaning to fall off the Trump train.
Yeah, like 2 years ago.
Tucker, Megan, Candace, all at the same time. Alex Jones just recently apologized to Candace.
No, he didn't. Let's just pause it there. Bigger. No, he didn't. What are you talking about? And how does that contribute to your argument? Alex didn't apologize to Candace at all. And not that I remember. I don't know. You guys see Alex apologize to Candace? Did he? I mean, did he apologize to her? Or did he just say, like, let's forget it? Oh, he did formally apologize? Okay. So what does that mean? So how does that contribute to the, so that was part of the meeting, I guess. So I guess 2 months ago when Candace had already dropped off and Marjorie Taylor Greene had already dropped off and the Hodge twins, they dropped off in like 2023. So when was this meeting? So apparently they all dropped at the same time, except a bunch of them dropped a couple years ago. Some of them dropped last year. Alex dropped a month ago and he apologized to Candace for being in a fight with her 2 months ago. So what is that? So why would he be in a fight with Candace if we're all in a secret cabal together? So again, I can go endlessly about just like the logical nonsense in all of this. I genuinely don't even understand, like, okay, what does Alex apologizing to Candace have to do with anything? But I want to let him keep going, because really the point of this is the projection, almost the imposition of motive, ulterior motive from us, from Alex Jones and Candace Owens and the Hodge twins. So Candace Owens was ahead of the curve and I officially apologized to her. Candace Owens plays a compilation of former Trump allies disavowing and criticizing him as the tarnishing of his legacy continues. He's even getting slammed on Truth Social, his own platform. Alex Jones, quote, "I'm really glad he's differentiating and saying you're not with me because I'm not with you. I don't want to be at your cool, corrupt kid, Howard Lutnick, Jeffrey Epstein class table. Thank you so much for delineating that I'm not with you, a sinking, burning ship." Anon posting, "How can you call them losers when you lose to Bibi Netanyahu in Israel every single day?" Interesting. So, okay. I guess that. Okay. Good to see. I'm not sure what he's really apologizing for, but okay. I guess just for going off on her. With me, she took the high road. I now think Israel was involved. Melissa Tate, so Erica killed Charlie. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying in general, I think she believes what she's saying. Okay, so again, all right. So again, what this has to do with we're all on a team defeating Trump, I couldn't even tell you. Not even sure what that proves or disproves about all of us being in a secret cabal to bring down Trump. The question is why? Why would we want that? What would be our motivation? Every one of these people that he mentions is like far, far right, as far as I'm concerned. And myself included. And like, especially, I mean, it's almost like comical. Like for Alex Jones and I, like our last names are Jones and Smith. Like we're as American as you can possibly get. Literally our ancestors fought next to each other in the Texas Revolution. Like what would our motivation be for not supporting America, for not loving America? Like we're not leftists, we're not liberals. This is what I mean, is this weird dichotomy has developed where people literally think that if you don't support Israel, you must be a secret leftist. That's crazy. That is a crazy thing to think. Let's go back to the guys. He tries to figure out what would motivate all these people to disagree with Trump about something. It couldn't possibly be that they actually disagree with something that Trump did, that he said he would never do, that he promised he would never do, that he ran on not doing. That couldn't possibly be a natural and legitimate reaction to Trump's behavior. There's got to be a conspiracy and some sort of ulterior motivation behind it, I guess. Let's watch.
At play here. And maybe they're setting up the 2028 election and they don't want a MAGA candidate in there.
Yeah, maybe.
This is my thinking. They don't want a MAGA candidate. So they're going to band together. They're going to speak against Donald Trump and MAGA. So when the election comes around, some of these people may be paid handsomely, but also they may want spots in the cabinet. And they've already been told, we need you to denounce Donald Trump. We need you to denounce Donald Trump and everyone that he supports. We want you to denounce MAGA, and we want to get rid of that base. So we need your 40 million followers or whatever it is amongst all of these guys on social media to keep hearing the banging of the drum, the banging of the drum. You have very strong support, and we want to make sure that we get that base to vote for whoever we want to win. And it's going to be some moderate Republican. All these people will remain Republicans. They're just no longer MAGA. Watch this space, because you're going to start seeing the fruits of their labor come out, and you're also going to see them be rewarded for their treachery.
Rewarded by who? What are you even talking about? This is what I mean. It's like, I'm sorry. You do not have the IQ to be a conspiracy theorist. I'm sorry, you've been demoted. You have to go back to lurking. You have to go back to listening to other people because you have tried to think for yourself and it has not worked out. I'm sorry to tell you, you're no longer allowed to theorize about conspiracies. You don't know how they work. You don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? Now, interestingly, a couple things about this. For one, all of these people were Trump supporters, right? Like he acknowledges they've turned on Trump, meaning they were Trump supporters, meaning they helped Trump across the finish line. Like he's concerned that all these people have been turning against Trump and that this could be a, you know, really damaging to the movement. He recognizes the power and influence that these people hold. Did they get rewarded for their support of Donald Trump? Did they support Donald Trump on the basis of the promise of future reward, or did they support Donald Trump because they actually believed it and did it even though they were in many cases damaged and harmed for their support of Trump? They didn't support Trump from the beginning because they thought it benefited them, but now that they don't support Trump, it must be because they're doing it for personal gain. Okay, if they did things for personal gain, then wouldn't they have only supported Trump if he offered them something in return? But he didn't offer them anything. They supported him anyway because they say what they actually believe. Trump has turned on them. But like this is the thing. If he had actually rewarded the people that got him into office, if he'd actually given cabinet positions or even just whatever council positions, like Mark Levin sits on the council of, you know, counterterrorism or whatever, if he'd actually brought in the very people who started the movement that got him elected, who created the America First MAGA mindset before Trump was ever on the political scene, if he'd actually worked with them and helped us or any of these people in any way, things might be different now. He might not have made the choices that he's made. We might be on a better track, but he didn't. He expected their support to just be there regardless of whether they were personally, you know, rewarded for their support, which again, it's not why we supported him, but if I was Trump, I would have tried to help out some of the people who were responsible for my success. Just seems reasonable and like something you would do even if you were a bad person, you do it because strategically it would be the good thing to do to show people, hey, you helped me, you get rewarded. Wouldn't that be a good sort of thing to set up? But no. The people that helped him get thrown under the bus and destroyed, the people that were against him, like Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin, they get positions in the cabinet, even though they never helped him in the first place. But Donald Trump, it's not even about the personal helping. Like, yeah, he could just simply allow his DOJ to follow up with our endless evidence of corruption and crimes against us, which would just be what he would do normally if he just actually cared about law and order. He didn't do that. But it's not about our private, you know, benefit, what we get from Trump. He hasn't done the things he needed to save the country. That's the issue. That's what we're mad at. And I'll show you why on the other side. It should be obvious by now. The Democrats are going to go insane and we're going to be the targets.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones